Welcome to this beginner masterclass on building a Nightbiz style breakbeat FX chain in Ableton Live 12 for heavyweight sub impact. In this lesson, we're not just making things sound busy, we're learning how FX work around the break and bass line so the drop feels darker, bigger, and way more controlled. That's a huge part of drum and bass production. In heavy bass music, the power comes from contrast. If everything is loud all the time, nothing feels massive. But if you create space, tension, and a clean buildup, then when the sub and drums hit together, the drop feels enormous. We're going to keep this beginner-friendly and use only Ableton stock devices, so you can follow along in a fresh project without needing any extra plugins. By the end, you'll have a simple setup with a tight breakbeat, a sub-heavy bass entrance, a riser, a downlifter, a filtered noise sweep, a reverse reverb-style transition, and a drum bus that glues everything together without killing the punch. Let's start by setting the scene. Open Ableton Live 12 and create a new project. Set the tempo to 174 BPM. That's a classic drum and bass tempo and a great place to start for this kind of energy. If you want a slightly moodier, more halftime feel later, you can experiment lower. But 174 gives us the right movement for this lesson. Now create a few tracks. Keep it simple. Drum break, kick, layer, sub bass, bass texture, FX, return, atmosphere. The main idea here is to separate roles. The sub is your weight, the break is your movement, the FX are your transition and focus. When each part has a job, the mix stays clearer and the drop hits harder. Let's build the break first. Drag in a classic breakbeat loop onto the drum break track. A 1-bar or 2-bar break is perfect as long as it has a strong snare and a bit of ghost note detail. Start by looping just 1 bar so you can really hear the groove. If the sample needs warping, use Ableton's warp function, but don't overstretch it. For crisp drum transients, beats warp mode often keeps the attack sharper. If the break has more tonal movement and you need it to stay more natural, complex can work too. The key is not to destroy the character of the break. Now make a quick edit to give it some life. Cut 1 or 2 hits near the end of the bar, and leave a tiny gap before the snare. That little bit of space creates anticipation, and anticipation is one of the most powerful tools in drum and bass. Duplicate the clip and vary the last 1/4 bar every couple of bars so it doesn't loop too obviously. Add drum bus to the break track. Start gently. A little drive, a bit of transient enhancement, and maybe soft clip if needed. Don't crush it. You want the break to feel more focused and present, not flattened. A small amount of drive can help the break stand out before the FX even come in. Now let's build the sub. And this is important. Build the sub first so the FX don't fight it. Create a MIDI clip on the sub bass track and use operator or wavetable. Keep it simple with a sine wave or something very close to a sine. The sub should feel pure, stable, and direct. Write a basic 2-bar phrase. You don't need anything fancy. Try long notes under the kick and snare gaps, with 1 or 2 short pickup notes before the next bar. That call and response shape works really well in drum and bass, because it leaves room for the break to breathe. Keep the sub mono. If you want to be extra safe, put utility on the sub track and set width to 0%. That keeps the low end centered and strong. You can add a little saturator if you want the sub to show up better on smaller speakers. Just a touch. The goal is not distortion for its own sake. The goal is to create harmonics so the bass stays audible even when you're listening quietly. Next, let's create a gritty bass texture layer above the sub. This is not your main low end weight. This is the audible personality of the bass. Duplicate the MIDI from the sub onto a new track called Bass Texture. Use wavetable, operator, or analog. Aim for something darker and more textured, like a filtered saw or square blend with subtle detune. Then shape it with a filter so it sits above the sub instead of competing with it. Add auto filter after the synth, and automate the cutoff so it opens and closes over 4 or 8 bars. That movement is what makes the line feel alive. If you want a little more motion, add a light echo effect, but keep it subtle. Short delay times, low feedback, and low wet amount. We're adding motion, not clutter. At this point, your bass should feel like 2 layers working together. The sub is the foundation, and the texture layer gives the bass attitude. Now let's move into the FX side of the lesson, because this is where the Nightbiz style transition energy really comes alive. Create a return track and call it FX Return. On this return, add reverb, auto filter, echo, and saturator in that order. Set the reverb to something medium to large, with a moderate decay and a little pre-delay. The important thing here is not to let the low end into the reverb. High pass the return so the reverb and echo don't cloud the sub. A high pass somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz is often a good place to start. Use the send on this return for short hits, snare accents, fill sounds, reverse cymbals, and one-shot impacts. Don't send the sub-bass into this return. That's one of the most common beginner mistakes, and it usually makes the low end muddy fast. Now automate the send so the FX bloom before the drop, and ease off once the drop lands. That creates the classic wash into impact feeling. The listener hears the space open up, and then the drop arrives with more force because of it. One of the most useful tricks in this whole lesson is the reverse reverb transition. Here's how to do it simply. Take a snare or crash hit, duplicate the audio clip, reverse the duplicate, and add reverb to it. Now that reversed sound swells into the drop instead of away from it. If you want to keep it really clean, you can render it to audio or freeze and flatten later, but you don't have to. Even a basic reversed sample with reverb can sound huge. Try placing that swell one beat or two before the drop. High pass it if needed so it doesn't add low-end mess. The point is tension. The reverse sound fills the gap before impact, which makes the drop feel bigger. Now add a riser, a downlifter, and one impact to frame the drop. For the riser, use a noise source or a simple synth tone, and automate the auto-filter cutoff from low to high over 2 to 4 bars. Keep it quiet. The riser should suggest the drop, not overpower it. For the downlifter, reverse a cymbal or noise hit and pull it down in pitch or filter it downward. That gives the drop a darker, falling motion. For the impact, layer a short kick punch, a low sine thump, and a brief noise burst. Keep it tight. In drum and bass, a focused impact usually works better than a huge messy one. Now let's glue the drums together with a drum bus. Group your drum tracks and place drum bus on the group. Again, keep it subtle. A little drive, a little transient enhancement, maybe a touch of boom if the kick needs weight, and soft clip if the bus gets too hot. EQ 8 before or after drum bus if the break sounds boxy or harsh. A small cut in the low mids can clean up the mix, and a gentle dip in the harsh top end can keep the hats from getting sharp. The important thing is to keep the break punchy while letting the bass sit underneath it. If the break is too wide or too muddy, the sub won't feel as strong. If the drums are controlled, the effects feel intentional instead of messy. Now let's arrange the energy. A simple structure works really well here. Think in 8-bar sections. 8 bars of intro, 8 bars of build, 16 bars of drop, 8 bars of variation or outro. During the intro, keep things stripped back. Let the break tease the groove, and maybe bring in the bass texture lightly without the full sub. In the build, add the riser, reverse swell, and more FX send. Right before the drop, pull something away for a beat. That tiny bit of silence makes the return feel much heavier. Then when the drop lands, bring in the full sub. Let the break and bass hit together. That first downbeat should feel like the floor opens up. One great beginner trick is to mute the bass texture for half a bar before a big snare fill, then bring it back on the next downbeat. That little gap creates way more impact than just adding more layers. As you automate, keep it simple. Pick 2 or 3 things to move: the auto filter on the bass texture, the send level to the FX return, and maybe the volume on the riser or reverse swell. Don't automate everything at once. Beginners often draw too many curves and end up with a confusing arrangement. A few clear moves usually sound stronger than 100 tiny changes. Here are a few common mistakes to avoid. Don't send the sub into reverb or echo. Keep the low end dry and center. Don't drown the break in too much reverb. Shorter often hits harder. Don't make the riser louder than the drop. Let the arrangement do the work. Don't overlayer too many FX at once. One riser, one reverse swell, one impact, and one downlifter is enough to start. Don't let the bass texture fight the kick and snare. Use EQ to carve space. And always check mono compatibility, so your low end stays solid. A few extra coach tips before we wrap up. Think in lanes. Sub for weight. Break for movement. FX for transition and focus. If two elements are trying to do the same job, the mix gets smaller. Use contrast, not constant energy. A heavyweight drop often feels bigger when something disappears first. Even removing one layer for a beat can make the next hit feel massive. Check the low end at low volume. If the drop still feels strong quietly, your kick and sub relationship is probably working well. And remember, shorter can hit harder. A quick swell or a tight reverse often feels more powerful than a huge obvious build. Here's a quick practice challenge you can do in about 15 minutes. Take one breakbeat loop and trim it into a 1-bar loop. Add drum bus lightly. Program a simple 2-bar subline. Duplicate it to create a filtered texture layer. Build one FX return with reverb, echo, and saturator. Add one reverse swell before the drop. Add one riser and one impact. Arrange an 8-bar intro into a 4-bar drop. Check the sub in mono. Then bounce it and listen back to see if the drop feels bigger than the build. That's the whole game. Tension, space, and impact. So to recap, in drum and bass, effects should frame the break and sub, not clutter them. Use Ableton stock devices to build tension with reverb, echo, filters, risers, reverse swells, and drum bus shaping. Keep the sub clean and mono. Let the break breathe, and automate your effects so the drop arrives with real weight. If you remember just three things, remember this. Keep the low end dry and controlled. Use effects to create contrast before the drop, and let space make the impact feel bigger. That's your NITPA style breakbeat effects foundation in Ableton Live 12. Now go build it, keep it tight, and let the drop hit like it means it.